John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And good morning, everybody, here on this Tuesday, day after the Seahawks game against the, what do you call it, a game against the Chicago Bears, where they end up losing in kind of a bad fashion, 24-17, 7-point loss, but a loss nevertheless. We got a lot of things to catch up on, a lot of things to get into in this game, so let's get started with the five biggest stories of the day, the top five brought to you by Eastside Funding.
Number one.
Oh, gosh, we had so many problems up front in general. It wasn't the upfront part of it, but we weren't able to control the pass rush, and we thought we would be able to do a better job of that. And I ripped back through it again this morning here to look at it again so I could help you understand. And there was, I'm finding Russ over trying a little bit. He's pressing in difficult situations to try and see if he can come up with a way to make something happen instead of just getting rid of the football.
And so that's Pete Carroll talking about the 0-2 start, the 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears. I thought the defense really did a pretty good job. I mean, they had a bad first series, a couple penalties that got things started off bad. But when you're considering how many changes they have, I mean, literally, I'm standing on the sidelines and I'm looking at 9 new starters on defense. I mean, the only starters back from last year, you have Jerron Reed, you have Earl Thomas. You know, Bradley McDougal finished the season, but he didn't open the season as a starting safety. McDougal really had a sensational game. Shaquille Griffin was out there, so that's 3. So there was, I mean, you have a whole new group that was out there starting on defense, and it really started to come together. I mean, the fact that you have Michael Kendricks out there with basically no practice, he actually gets a sack. They were able to get a little bit of pressure in the second half. I thought they did a decent job of stopping the run. So defensively, they did a pretty good job. I mean, Austin Calitro, who we're going to talk to in a little bit, had 8 tackles, and for his first start in the National Football League. When you have that going, it's like, okay, they held the Chicago Bears to 17 points, and once Mitch Trubisky got through his script, then everything started to work out pretty well. They were able to start to go ahead and stop moving the football, but the offense did not do a good job at all. I mean, you can see that what's now becoming the trend for this team is now starting to revert into something that's not good. I mean, not good offense in the first 3 quarters, and then last year they were able to come back and get 78 points in the fourth quarter, in the league. Well, now they're not able to do that. They were able to generate 1 touchdown drive in each of the last couple games in the fourth quarter, but only 80 yards going into the quarter, 6 sacks in the first 2 games. Russell Wilson really having an uncharacteristically bad game, mistakes, the pick 6, all those different things. I mean, really, when you look at everything, how bad it really turned out to be. So that's got to be a big concern right now. What's going to happen with the offense? The run-pass ratio, that was bad. I mean, they only had 22 rushes for the day in 64 plays. Then I'm mystified at what happened at the running back situation. You know, after the game, you thought it was going to be Chris Carson was going to be the main guy. He was going to get most of the carry. Started off well, averaging over 4 yards a carry. And then what ends up happening is that he's down. Rashad Penny's out there. And after the game, Pete Carroll says, oh, yeah, well, apparently Chris got tired on special teams. That, to me, we'll get into that in a second, but that's just very baffling. So now, with the 0-2 start, with the fact that there's so many young players, I mean, this season's on the line early. I mean, Greg Bell's brought this out from the Tacoma News Tribune, that only, 11% of the teams that start out 0-2 make the playoffs, and so you can see right now a very troubled start, but they've got to turn it around with a must-win in this home opener coming up against a Dallas Cowboy team that's 1-1.
Number 2.
I was off on the thing I said about Chris about that he wasn't on. He was on special teams a couple plays, but I thought that's what happened, and I just misread him on the sidelines a little bit and didn't clearly understand. And so, I just want to give Rashad a chance to go play. And when he did, and then Chris never really gets back in the game. Would you bench him or something? That didn't happen. It just was the way the things turned, and so I miss it a little bit.
So that's the explanation that Pete said, that Chris Carson was gassed after the game because of special teams, but he's only on the field for 2 special team plays, and so that's a mystery. I know Rashad Penny had a pretty good week of practice, and so I guess maybe he earned a chance to do a little bit more, but it was real confusing how the running backs were being used, because, particularly early, you saw Penny as the pass-catching back, which, again, he's got the ability to do that, but where was C.J. Procise? And then where was Chris Carson? All those different things. You wondered about injury. and that's very much in question. Speaking of injury, Justin Britt has a shoulder injury. X-rays were negative, but they're going to get an MRI today to see where it is. They don't know where that stands as far as his ability to come back and play this week. It looks like there's a decent chance that KJ Wright, looks like Bobby Wagner, decent chance that maybe Trey Flowers. Those three may be back. We'll see what's going on with DJ Fluker. It's going to be a short week, and of course, an important week as they get ready for the Dallas Cowboys.
Number three.
The 1-1 to Vogelback on the way, swinging a drive deep to right center field. Going, this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It is grand salami time. Daniel Vogelback with a pinch hit. Grand salami here in the top of the eighth inning. Holy smokes, and the Mariners have the lead. 4-1 over the Astros.
And we are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Well, 4-1 victory over Houston. And believe it or not, the Mariners are 6-1 down in Houston. They're 83-67, 16 games above 500, but they still trail by at least 7 games, and that's not good. Wade LeBlanc gave up 3 hits and 5 and a third innings and 1 run. He's still 8-4. It looks like Ryan Cook gets the victory. Edwin Diaz gets his 56th save. And now is the third most saves in a season in baseball history. So that's encouraging. Mike Leake's going to get the start tonight and a 5:10 start, 4 o'clock in the pregame. This game's at Minute Maid Park. But, it's still, a good, I guess they're finished the season strong, but they're still going to be out of the playoffs. Last I looked, the magic number was 5. As far as trying to be able to get in there and catch the Oakland A's. So that's not going to happen. But hey, 83-67, I don't know if anybody thought that this was going to be an 83-win team. I thought it would be anywhere between 78 and 84, but unfortunately it's not going to be a playoff team. Again, Oakland has just done such a great job, and that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business.
Number four.
Look, we know that the Patriots have really, they have run a lot of wide receivers through their program with varying results. Sometimes it has been the position that many people consider to be Bill Belichick's weakness as far as evaluation is concerned. But I can understand why he is taking a shot on Josh right now.
And so the trade was made yesterday. Josh Gordon going to the Patriots for a 5th-round pick. They also get a 7th-round pick going back to the Cleveland Browns. And so at least he's taking a flyer on Josh Gordon. They don't know if he's going to be able to play here in the next week or so. So that's why they're actually looking at Dez Bryant, because what happened with Gordon, he got an injury last Friday while he was attending a photo shoot, a team photo shoot. And so, they had to get an MRI. I know yesterday he has to pass the physical to be able to make the team. Not active for 10 games. Really, that's pretty bad right now, all the games that he's missed. Now, as far as other news, some wide receiver news in Washington, Breshad Perriman and Michael Floyd ended up going to the Washington Redskins, not Dez Bryant. They're not interested in him. So at least they get 2 former first-round picks that end up getting jobs. And then, of course, the Steelers, more problems there. Antonio Brown did not show up for practice yesterday, and so apparently he was upset on the field. He left the locker room in a hurry. I know that Mike Tomlin just addressed that in the last hour. He's going to talk to Antonio Brown. Things are just a mess. The Le'Veon Bell holdout still remains, and so the Steelers right now 0-1-1 in crisis mode as everything's falling apart with that team. They ended up losing 42-37 to the Kansas City Chiefs, so that is not looking good. So all those things are going on right now, and of course we'll see where that all heads, but in the end it's going to be a tight race right now in that AFC North. And you can check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura deal. Oh, we'll get number 5 coming up here. Sorry.
Number 5.
They're saying they're using this video and sending it to teams like they do every week or every couple of weeks as far as a teaching point that this is not the way to do it, which blows my mind. There is a rule, though. Rule 12, Section 2, Article 9 of the NFL rulebook states the technique of grabbing the passer from behind the legs, scooping and pulling in an upward motion is considered a foul. And they're saying that's what he did. Mike McCarthy, Clay Matthews' head coach, says the goal is player safety. I think that's number one. Number two, it's to protect the quarterback. But also, I think you have to go further. I think anytime you have a desired result, there's a formula to get that result. You got to make sure you're looking at all the variables. I'm not sure all the variables are clear right now.
I mean, this is an absolute mess. So apparently now Clay Matthews, as you know, gets the 15-yard penalty that really cost him the game because it canceled probably a game-ending interception. And so now they're going to add this play, and I'm talking about add this play because it really wasn't one, and they call it quarterback burping, where you kind of grab the quarterback and kind of put him on the ground. Well, now I know that this has been ripped by Mike Pereira. It's been ripped by Dean Blandino, that they're basically now creating plays as they go along. And so they consider it to be roughing the passer, but this is just a mess. And again, you go into a season, you're supposed to know all the plays and all the calls and all that stuff. Now they're inventing them based on what they see on the field. This, to me, is just ridiculous. Terry McCauley says that these two hits are indeed fouls for roughing the passer. Then if that's the case, he's glad he is no longer on the field and have to make those calls. This is just amazing how this is just an absolute mess right now, figuring out these calls in the National Football League. And of course, coming up next, we're going to go under further review and take a further look at what happened in last night's game against the Chicago Bears. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Under further review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
So under further review, we take a look at the Seahawks game last night, a 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears. And, of course, I guess the big thing is figuring out the offense, because to me, everything looked pretty simple from the way things went in OTAs, in minicamp, and training camp. The idea was to run the football. And you can see with Mike Solari's offensive line blocking sets that that should have been a pretty positive thing. But right now, it's just not happening. And there was all kind of confusion last night, to a point where you can see that Pete Carroll, at least after the game, said that he kind of got his offensive coordinator out of sync because he wanted to get some longer plays downfield that threw things off. I mean, they ran the ball okay at the beginning, then things just went awry. Chris Carson went invisible. We didn't know what happened with that one. And this team needs to run the football, and it's not running the football. And then what that does, it forces Russell Wilson to now run around himself and try to make plays. And I think what you can see is that, you know, if indeed the talent there is at the running back position, they've simply got to use it. And the talent is there. I mean, Chris Carson is a talented back. I mean, you see every time that he takes the ball that he tries to get extra yards, and usually does. Then you can see Rashard Penny kind of getting out of it, and we'll talk to him in a little bit about what his reaction was as far as, you know, having his first better game, because it was a bad first game, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was not adjusted to the speed of the game. That's something that a rookie doesn't have, particularly when you miss three preseason games. So they're going to have to work on that part of it. But they just simply did not run the football, and that's a big problem. And so I know that Pete Carroll was seeing Russell Wilson really trying to force things too much.
We weren't able to control the pass rush, and we thought we would be able to do a better job of that. I ripped back through it again this morning here to look at it again so I could help you understand. And there was I'm finding Russ over trying a little bit. He's pressing in difficult situations to try and see if he can come up with a way to make something happen instead of just getting rid of the football. And I think something, you know, that you said about maybe some familiarity, you know, and that comfort that you have could help us. There was two different hot situations, and Diz missed one, and you know, he needs to look, and Russ looked to him, and on a pressure, and he wasn't quite there. And there's another one on a play action when he's got to get rid of the ball in a hot situation, did not take a sack that he could have done and was prepared to do. We did it during the week and all that. So there's some things like that, but in the long yard situations, we ate the football a couple times. We need to get rid of the ball.
And that's a big problem. I mean, you've got to convert the third downs and try to make them easier, and that goes back into some of last year's problem. Way too many third and eight, third and tens, and all that. And you can see the inability to try to run the football more. And that's what I say, try running the football has put this team in a position, because let's say, for example, did you really see too many times where they had back-to-back running plays? Not often, and not often enough. And that's a problem, because what you have to do, you get the two running plays, and you saw it with the Chicago Bears. They were able to do it, maybe not in a great level, but they were able to do it and get more third and twos. And when you get third and twos, you can convert those. They're a little bit easier because now you can either, you know, just do a short pass. You can do a little bit more. You have more options, and they've got to find a way to be more consistent running the football. I mean, what, when you think about it, what, 37 running plays in two games? That's just not enough. I mean, 37 in one game is a pretty good game, but 37 in two? Not good enough. And so they've got to be able to fix that up. And I know that's the thought that Brock and Salk were talking about today, because again, you know, running the football both with the running backs and Russell Wilson, very important.
For 6 years, we have watched this offense operate and be willing to just live for another play, live for another series, live for another quarter. We've watched it. We have watched Russell be unbelievably patient, maddeningly so. In the first half of these games, to the point that I have texted you and our little text chains and the number of times, relax, little grasshopper, that we've just watched. It's just a rope-a-dope, right? And you know what? It's not that big a deal. As long as we don't turn it over, we don't give them fields, we're going to stay in the game, we're going to win in the fourth quarter. Is that the best way to operate in 2018? Is that the best way to operate in 2018? Because that's not the way it was operated in 2012 when the thing was reset the first time, right? That's not the way that Russell played the game in 2012. Or maybe even in parts of 2013 where you ran with a better O-line at that time and a better running back at that time. He had to be the running element to it. He had to be willing to do that. He had to be willing to take care of that extra safety or that extra edge defender and be willing to pull it and run. And over the last few years, that's disintegrated. Is, you know, you just play to the fourth quarter. It's all about the finish. I'm going to be really curious as this thing evolves in the weeks and over this season ahead. If Russell's, who one of his greatest strengths is his ability to run, I would like to see him run.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair thought by Brock that probably does need to run a little bit more, get the RPOs, that run-pass option going, and whatever it is, whether it's, you know, Russell Wilson running, Chris Carson running, Rashard Penny running, they've got to run the football. They're not going to be able – if you look at the – top quarterbacks since 2008, two things go wrong that give you losing seasons. One, a defense that gives up more than 25 points, and the other is going to be lack of a running game. And when you have 37 running plays in two games, you're not going to win. Simple as that. I mean, you're not going to have a winning season. Sure, you can be in a position like they have been where you can now make those fourth quarter comebacks. I mean, you go back to the stat from last year, which I thought was critical, was that they were minus 44 in the point differential in the first three quarters, plus 78 in the fourth quarter. And they were able to get the 9 wins. And, of course, they probably would have got more were it not for Blair Walsh missed field goals and a few other plays. Those things went against them. But now if you put yourself in a position where you have to try to keep winning games in the fourth quarter, which is what they've now done, carrying over into the first two games this year, it's problematic. I mean, this is a different league, at least starting this season. Scoring is right now 47, 48 points. You've got an NFC right now, and you think about this, where arguably 14 of the top 20 quarterbacks are in the NFC, and they played the quarterback last night that was at the bottom of the list in the NFC, Mitch Trubisky. And Trubisky only put up 17 points. I mean, once he got past the 15-16 play script, then he seemed to be a little bit lost. All he can do is kind of run around and maybe make a few running plays and throw some short passes. And, you know, he really was not able to accomplish much after the first 17-18 plays. So that gave this team the opportunity to try to win, and it didn't take advantage of it. And that was more on the offense. Not on the defense. I thought the defense did a very good job. I thought there was some very encouraging things. You know, they're able to develop a little bit more depth. I mean, the fact that Austin Calitro was out there doing some very good things at middle linebacker. You know, an unexpected performance by Michael Kendricks being able to go out and try to play with limited playing time and knowing a suspension's hanging over his head on the appeal. You know, those are positive. I thought Shaquille Griffin really played a good football game. I mean, you can see he's got more savvy, more ability to intercept passes, all those things to be in the favor of him, but offensively, it's got to get better. And it starts with the running of the football. Make it simple. Don't try to get too complicated in this thing. And, you know, it's like, if that's the case, as Pete Carroll said, that they're now, you know, he's making some pressing and doing a little bit more than he should, well, make it easier on him. That's the idea. Running the football makes things easier. They've got the talent. I think they can get the blocking. They've got the coaching to be able to do it. They've got to make that commitment to do it. They're taking on a running team this week in the Dallas Cowboys, and you'll get run over if they have to have that differential that is going to be the running that the Cowboys will have versus what's right now not there being used for the Seahawks. Hey, check out the show on the 710 Sports app driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up, we're going to start getting you some reaction from in the locker room last night. We'll come back with Rashad Penny and Brandon Marshall. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And one of the great parts about going to all the Seahawks games, home and away, you get a chance to visit with the players after the game and kind of get their reaction and what there was. And, of course, the team's off to an 0-2 start. But certainly offense is a big issue right now. But it was a little bit of a surprise that saw a little bit more playing time out of Rashad Penny. And so after the game, we had a chance to catch up with Rashad Penny.
Joining us right now is Rashad Penny, and got a couple of nice runs out there.
Oh yeah, I'm finally getting in the groove. I mean, when you got a lot of great blockers and, you know, everybody who does everything right, and then I got great running back, you know, guys in that room that just get me started and, you know, motivate me and just more encourage me. I think that's what you need, and as a young guy in this league, and once you start feeling that, I think your play start playing better.
Well, the thing I was kind of wondering about for the first game, you know, not playing the final three preseason games, adjusting to the speed of the game was going to be an issue. Was that an issue in week one?
I believe so. I thought I was a little rusty. But now, as I'm seeing myself getting better, I feel it. I feel way different than I was. And I feel like it's extra gear there with me. And I feel like with the great week of practice that we all had as a team and just preparing right, everybody was looking so smooth and crisp, you know, but outcome didn't show. But I think we're going to come back next week better.
How did it feel to get that extra gear on that one run, the first one you really got started with?
I felt good. I mean, I felt like this was the start of it. And, you know, this is only the start of it. And, you know, just more opportunities, I think, is more outcome. So.
Yeah, because I was thinking that play looked like what we saw in the early OTAs when you first got here in the rookie minicamp.
I agree with you on that one. I mean, I felt like I was ready to roll. And I couldn't do it without a great running backs like Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and the running back coach Chad, and you know, all these offensive linemen just believing me as a rookie, going in, stepping into a big role, and just playing something just to execute. All I want to do is win.
Yeah, and of course that's the thing. I mean, you believe in yourself.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I have all the confidence in the world. I can go out and achieve anything. I just have to put my mind to it and just be focused and prepared. And I think this week I was really top end on with all my focus. I was ready to go. Blocked all the media stuff out because I personally think that's what got to me a little bit. And I feel better. You know, I feel way better. And, you know, I just gotta let it roll.
What media stuff got to you? Because that's...
I mean, I think I just tend to let things bother me. And I'm not like that. Not at all. You know, I have family, friends, my girlfriend, you know, all encourage me every day just to leave it alone. You know, they're going to say things. And, you know, that's something that I'm getting used to still because I'm still a young guy. But I'm blocking it all out now, and I feel way better.
So what part of the week did you have that all blocked out and cleared your mind?
By Sunday after the game. Sunday after the game, they were already attacking. So, you know, Sunday night, you know, I've been...
Welcome to the NFL.
Exactly. I've been head-on straight forward. So, I mean, I'm excited about this opportunity, and I can't wait to see where it goes from there.
What's going to be the biggest thing in taking it from week two to week three with the running game?
Just getting more opportunities, hitting it downhill, and just playing full speed.
Yeah, because that's the thing in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, they were getting more, you know, third and twos, third and threes, which is what you need.
Exactly, and I think that's because of the first down. You know, we was able to gain yards with first down and then be more effective.
Hey, Rashad, thanks.
Thanks.
And so that's Rashad Penny after the game talking about the improvement that he had from week one to week two. And I'm glad that he did admit something that I thought would end up happening, is that you do tend to maybe not understand the speed of the game. Remember, he got the finger injury in the first preseason game. And, of course, the difference of a preseason game speed to the speed of what goes on in the regular season is huge. And after three missed games and the fact he was out there, he did admit that it was a factor in the game that he had in the opener. Of course, one guy that now has to step up more is Brandon Marshall, because I think you can see without Doug Baldwin, the favorite target of Russell Wilson, and then Jimmy Graham, who was the second best target right now, somebody had to step up. So let's kind of get the opinion after the game of Brandon Marshall and what he thought of the offense.
Joining us right now is Brandon Marshall. So how does it feel to get back here to Chicago?
I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, It's nothing like a reunion or anything. We came here to win the game, and we didn't get that done.
What was the toughest part about today's game?
Offense was we were stalling, you know. Yeah, we got to get going and got to get in the rhythm. So hopefully we do that this week in practice, you know, and it carry over to the weekend.
It just seemed like the third down situation just really would have been very difficult the first two games of the regular season.
Yeah, that's fair. You got to be able to convert on third down. You want to be mid to high, you know, 40% in that range. If you can do that, you can win a lot of ball games. So that's a big situation in the ball game that we got to get better at.
And once again, still getting the running game started has been a big issue.
Yeah, and that's on all of us, you know, receivers outside, you know, all of us, you know, working as one. You know, that's what we got to do to get that running game going.
How is the offense without Doug Baldwin?
You know, it's tough to replace him. You know, we definitely miss him. He's a big threat.
And what about yourself? How did you feel the way you played?
I can always do better. There's some things I definitely have to clean up. Just got to be sharper in everything that I do. You know, we got to find a way to make plays.
Brandon, thanks.
Thank you.
So that's Brandon Marshall talking about his game getting back to Chicago. And, there was a couple times where they actually double covered him. They had a safety on top and a cornerback underneath. I mean, a lot of the coverage that the Bears had last night was more cover two. There were more zone. But they did match some individual man coverage in there. I know Vic Fangio likes to play as much man as he possibly can. But I think the big thing is that, they did a good job because there wasn't a lot of separation with the receivers going against that. They weren't able to really get the passing offense going too much. Got it going a little bit in the fourth quarter, but still the receivers, you're going to have to do a little bit more, and they're going to have to get the running game going to really help this thing out, because offensively at the moment, I mean, the team's not there. I mean, you know, it was a positive thing on the defensive side, but on offense, I mean, it's still a matter of, you know, getting Russell Wilson in better sync. And what you wonder, and I'll even ask you this. It's like, don't you think that the consideration now needs to be, particularly earlier in the game, getting more up-tempo type stuff, because to try to, you know, at least force-feed some things? I know they don't want to necessarily do it too much because that could lead to some three and outs, but they really need some up-tempo, and they need to try to, you know, move the chains with an up-tempo type of an offense.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, and I know Brock hammered it home this morning. Just any kind of screens, sweeps, anything, there just was not a lot of creativity. They tried initially to run it, but then went away from it all the way until the fourth quarter. And I think it's just, you see that it's taking away some of that magic that we've seen from Russell Wilson in the past. He looks uncomfortable out there.
He really does. I mean, yeah, more uncomfortable than any time I think we've seen him in the last 4 or 5 years. You can see some of the discomfort last year, particularly in the first quarter when they couldn't get anything going, and that just became a absolute and total mess. But now I think you can see a little bit more discomfort, and he's just not being him. I mean, Russell Wilson is not being Russell Wilson, and that's something that I think that, you know, definitely needs to be fixed and adjusted, and, you know, get that confidence level back, because, he is the offense, and he's the one that's going to dictate how this season is going to go. I still contend that the offense has to carry the defense until the defense, you know, gets to a point where they start getting better. And they got an improved, because let's put it this way, defensively, they played well enough to win. You know, my thing this year is that, you hold opponents under 23 points, you should be able to win with this offense. And if that's going to be the case, but here it was, 17 points, and Russell gave up 7 points with that interception. You know, those things, you know, have to stop. They have to get that fixed. And I'm sure that they're going to concentrate on that on this short week, getting ready for the Dallas Cowboys. All right. Well, continuing with, what's going on with the team, we're going to go and get behind the lines and, go with Will Disley, talk to Austin Calitro, try to get their reactions after the game.
Down, 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 down,
Well, and behind the lines today, what we're going to do is, of course, continue going into the locker room and kind of getting the reaction of players after the game. And one player that's really made a big impact, and in fact, such a big impact that he's moved ahead of Nick Vannett as the starting tight end, because Will Disley's now the starting tight end in this team, and he did well. I mean, he blocked well. He made a couple of big plays, particularly in the fourth quarter, got a touchdown pass. Let's catch up with Will Disley.
Joining us right now is Will Disley. So, I mean, it's an incredible start for you. It's like, you know, have the big game, 105 yards in Denver. You get the start at the right tight end position. I mean, even though it was a tough loss, it's a good start for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what you just said there at the end is kind of what we're all focused on right now, those two losses. And you know, I can do a lot of good things, but if we don't get the win, I've got to do more. So, you know, we'll go back and watch the film, and we'll all try to get better.
What did you see from the film from game one in Denver?
You know, we just got to stay on time, you know, with, you know, first, second down, we gotta, you know, you gotta get positive yards. So we can't have third and longs, you know, put the offense in a tough spot. Really execute there. So I think, you know, each week we're gonna find something that we need to improve on, and you know, it's a long season, so hopefully we can get better.
What improvements did you see, if any, today in this game?
You know, I was really happy with the way we, you know, finished. There's a lot of fight on this team. You can kind of see both back-to-back weeks. You know, we're not giving up, and you know, that's really all you can ask for at the end of the day is, you know, a team that's not gonna quit come the fourth quarter.
Much like one of the things that you saw last year with this team. I mean, this team really picks up its game offensively in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, you just see the defense, and they're working so hard, and they're creating turnovers. It's unfortunate that we can't get the ball rolling, you know, early, but you know, we'll figure it out, and we'll be better next week.
So what is it with you on the big plays at tight end?
You know, I'm just trying to be in the right place at the right time. You know, we have a great quarterback back there. He does some special things, so whenever he throws the ball, you just got to make something happen.
And, of course, I mean, you were able to get the misses on tackles and stuff like that to get downfield, particularly that one play.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just credit the offensive line, you know, for holding up there on those plays. And, you know, it's a team effort. D-Marsh had a lot of good things. Tyler Lockett got the ball rolling with that big touchdown. So, you know, everyone's making plays and everyone's doing great.
How do you feel about your blocking?
You know, we can improve there. Something I'm going to focus on a lot this week. So just trying to do whatever we can to get a win.
You will. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So it looks like they hit it big with Will Disley. I mean, a guy that I know people were surprised that they traded up and were able to get on the field. But now you can see that he's coming in. He's actually now starting, got his first start last night. And, you know, big things are ahead for him. I mean, I think that, you knew he can block. I know when they drafted him, the big thought was, is that he was considered to be the best blocking back available in college coming out of UW. And now you can see he's actually a big play type of guy. Had 105 yards in the first game, made a couple of big catches last night. And so good things there, and so they actually do get the production from the tight end position. I know a couple times that maybe he was caught out of position, but that's not surprising in the sense that he is a rookie. He is trying to learn, and then you think about this. I mean, here they are trying to come back, and you have a rookie tight end. You have a rookie running back. I mean, so they are a young team right now trying to do some things, but Will Disley doing a lot of good things. A guy that really, I think, surprised everybody last night was the good play of Austin Calitro, because Calitro was a name that nobody even talked about making the team. But of course, he was running as the backup middle linebacker behind Bobby Wagner the entire time, and you know, was able to come in and played a lot in the opening game against the Denver Broncos, both on the weak side and you know, of course, with the start now. And the big thing he had to make the adjustment on is what to do when you have that little thing in your ear, or at least in your helmet, that you now have to communicate the plays. Let's catch up after the game with Austin Calitro.
Join us right now. It's Austin Calitro. It's like, how did this first start feel?
It was good. It was nice to finally get one of my belt. Now, I obviously wish we had a different result, but I thought we were playing fast and physical, and that's what we pride ourselves on defense.
You really seem to do well in this game. It's like, it just seemed to come natural for you.
Coach Norton's a great coach. I mean, you know, he's coached me up all week. And he had extra meetings and stuff. So, I mean, he did it. He did his part, and I think I did mine. You saw the result. So
did you get the thing in your ear, so you had to kind of put everybody in? It's a big challenge for a first start.
Yeah, but I did it all preseason, so I was kind of I thought I was well prepared for this.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest thing that you felt good about the way you played?
Just communication. My job is to get the whole defense set up, and you see the guys getting set up. So, I mean, it was pretty cool telling some of the bigger names where to go, and yeah, communication was the biggest part of me.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, here you have linebacking core that was completely new because, I mean, you know, Mingo is now the more experienced guy from the one with the, you know, with the two Pro Bowlers out. And it's like it's a whole new group.
Yeah, we had a lot of time to practice. We had 2 days to practice, which felt like a long time during the week. You know how that is. So we got our communication down and it got better as the game went on.
So what did you have to try to do to help out to Michael Kendricks? Because I don't even know if he had a practice.
Yeah, he had a couple. He's a smart football player, so I just remind him little things here and there and little caveats of our defense, and he caught on pretty well.
It seemed once Mitch Trubisky got off the script, you know, after about 17 plays, then he was a different quarterback, and it really helped the defense out.
Yeah, I mean, after those first 15, 16 plays, like you were saying, I think we knew what their tendencies were, and we played on pretty heavy, and when he got to third down, we kind of knew what they wanted to do, so.
Yeah, because last week, I think he had 19 plays in the script, and he had 149 yards. The rest of the game, I think he had 143.
We stepped it up. So it was good to see. And I think once we stopped the run game, I think he had like 37 yards. That made it a lot easier for us.
What was the biggest thing you felt good about as far as the defense itself?
I just think we play hard. I mean, that's what we pride ourselves on. We play hard, fast, and physical. So that's all we could do.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
So Austin Calitro making a good start, another player on this team making a first start. I mean, boy, it's like they should put a big sign up there, first start, because so many guys, and you know, this team is resetting and getting as many young guys a chance to play. And you know, I'll tell you more, I really thought that Calitro did a very good job. Was he Bobby Wagner? No, but I thought that in a pinch, to be able to go out there and go out and look solid, not look like he was lost, thought that was a very encouraging thing.
Well, yeah, and he mentioned that he's having to step in there and actually, you know, give orders basically to some guys that he looks up to as a young guy, and there weren't communication issues for the most part. I didn't see any, and he had 8 tackles. I think that's a great first start.
It really is. And then again, you're filling in for one of the best middle linebackers in the league, and that is obviously a big challenge, because you do have to try to do the best you can, because it's going to be a tough one. And I thought that he did very, very well in this game. So that was, I think, one of the encouraging things. And they were able to survive, and then Michael Kendricks did some good things. They don't know how long he's going to be there, but the hope for the Seahawks is that they're going to have their two linebackers back, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, for the game coming up against the Dallas Cowboys. Also expected to have Trey Flowers back, so the defense coming back. But boy, you're down 5 starters with on the injured list, and I mean, when you saw that injured list on Saturday, you knew things were going to be tough. I think the expectation, because it was not going to be an easy thing. They had to kind of struggle through, but again, I think that under the circumstances, they did well. And I think what you can see with Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, they can be pretty good when you're running off the script. I mean, last week, for example, in the opener against the Green Bay Packers, they had about 149 yards in 19 plays, and then after that, they gained less than 149. And what happens with the script is that you get a 15-play script that you start the game with, and then you try to run as many as you can, and then after that, you start calling plays in, and clearly after about 19, 20 plays, it wasn't the same. It was very much different. And so that did make it that much tougher for Mitch Trubisky to be able to do things, and he kind of reverted into a quarterback that was just working on some running plays, throwing some shorter type passes, and set that, it was funny because I know I said that on the broadcast last night. I was like, okay, he's off the script, see what happens here, and the first thing he does, he throws an interception. And so it's like, ooh, that was interesting, because I knew that the script was a big part of his success. And once he was off the script, then he was going to have some difficulties, and clearly he had some difficulties, but it did set up, because again, here's a lot of changes on the Seahawks defense, and they were able to rise to the occasion and do a good job of stopping the young quarterback. So I thought that was an encouraging thing. Oh yeah, no, Shaquille was, I think, I mean, what you can see with him is that, he's now so much more relaxed. I know that, his big thing is that, he now wants to read plays and do some things. Cause remember, he waited till the final game last year before he got his first interception. And so now he comes in and he gets 2 in like about a minute. I mean, that's how quick things happen and how positive things happen. So I think that was some very good encouraging things. And I think now you can see how comfortable he feels Fields over at that cornerback position that had been occupied by Richard Sherman. So encouraging things there. But again, the discouraging thing right now is trying to get some things fixed up on offense, because offensively right now, things are a little bit of a mess. They've got to try to find a way to make things better on offense so they can make it easier for the defense. So that's overall the big things. Yes.
Sorry, John, a little bit of news here. Tom Johnson will not be returning with the Seahawks. The Vikings swooped him up, and it looks like he is going to re-sign with them on a one-year, $1.5 million deal, that coming from Tom Pelissero.
Wow. That's a blow, because he was the starting defensive tackle. And that's the one thing that I was kind of wondering about, is that, okay, so you get cut. I mean, all you're going to probably lose if you come back, because they could restore his salary, would be the one paycheck that he missed, as far as $15,625 for not being on the active roster and not being on the roster. But apparently, I guess he took it not positively, because now he's gone. And so, yeah, kind of interesting that, after one game, you're starting defensive tackle, and now that deep position, and you can understand their positioning, because if they put, they remember they had Nazir Jones and Puna Ford as the guys that they were not going to put on waivers, because if they did, somebody was going to claim them, and they needed a roster spot. But now that roster spot is gone, because he signs a one-year deal. Tough break again, and this is a tough, very tough start to the regular season for the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, you can check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Well, coming up next, we're going to go four downs with Sean Salisbury. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.